I tend to speak fast and with a funny accent. So if at some point it becomes hard to follow me, just holler and I'll try to slow down or rehearse. So it's not you, it's me. Let's put it this way. I'm going to present today some work I've been doing in the Flatpak and Nix space. I've made two assumptions for this talk, that you're familiar with Nix, which I think is fair, and you're at least interested in Flatpak, even if you haven't used it. Yeah? OK. So this won't really be a talk about why Flatpak is great or why it is not. Other folks have this kind of material out, and they could explain better than I could. This is going to be a talk about specifically managing Flatpak application on NixOS and about a tool that I wrote, Nix.pack, and now I got to write it. Has anybody heard of use Nix Flatpak in here? Ah, cool. That's a couple of people. We can chat. Sorry? Thank you. So in the disclaimer, I also want to say this is going to be a highly opinionated and anecdotal talk, because I'm talking about a problem I had and how I solved it, but then I found out that other people had it and are also using this thing to solve it. So just take it as with a grain of salt. There's nothing here that is all the truth. It's just how I do things. Your mileage may vary, and that's OK. Right. So how did we get here? I am a long-time Linux desktop user, like at the risk of dating myself. I started using Linux on my desktop in 98 with Debian Potato 2.0, till 2007, roughly. At the time, I always had this kind of tension between a stable system and bleeding. And here I don't mean bleeding edge, but bleeding as in physically painfully bleeding by getting the thing to work. I mean, I'm talking about recompiling KDE on Gen 2 PPC on my iBook G4 because I wanted something new. And yeah, that wasn't great. So I got a job, I got a Mac, like many other people, sadly. And I enjoyed my Mac for a long time because Mac gave me a stable core with orthogonal applications to the core that were independent from each other, meaning that no matter what I did, like my SSH client was working, and if I would install or update Firefox, that wouldn't break my email client, and vice versa. So I could use my machine for doing the work. And this has been working well for a long time, even though I have some pain point with macOS in the most recent years. It was all good. I think I found my space till in 2022, when I discovered Nix Darwin. And that's been my gateway drug into the Nix and NixOS ecosystem, because it kind of took over all I do. And I'm a NixOS user since 2023. And it's been a great experience so far. I think the hardware support is better than I used to. And the UX experience is much better than I used to. But I still have this pain that I want to run a very stable system, because I don't have time to fiddle. So I want my core to be stable, but sometime for some applications, I want a bleeding edge. And I don't mind if they break, but I don't want an application to break everything else. So I tried mixing Nix stable and unstable for a while, pinning packages. We're going to get back to this later, but that didn't really do it for me. I really was missing this orthogonality between my desktop and the core OS that I had on Mac. I think end of 22, I came across this talk from Nixcom, from Martin Wimpress, and it kind of changed my view. I think it was because basically what Martin described is like, it's what I wanted. Like, I want to run a stable system with Flatpak bolted on top, which prompted me to a question. So what is this Flatpak thing? Because, mind you, I haven't been doing Linux desktop for 15 years at this point. So I started playing a bit around. This is a I didn't see the credit, but it's an image from the Flatpak documentation. So Flatpak is a packaging system that allows apps to run in sandbox, system-independent environments. Think a bit like container. Think a bit like an app package on macOS. You download the Flatpak, you install it, and you got it. So this diagram here illustrates a bit the Flatpak architecture. Here you see three separate applications. It could be a browser, or VS Code, or whatever, basically. Each application contains its own data, codes, and libraries that they use for their own special purpose operation. And all of these applications run on a shared runtime. A runtime is a set of common libraries that multiple applications can use and share with each other. think GTK, for instance, or Glipsy, or, so, or something like that. This is pretty cool because it's a design that allows application to be completely self-contained because everything runs on top of a sandbox, on top of the OS. And there's a degree of isolation between application and application and application and OS. And I think I like this property because it reminds me a bit of how I used to run my desktop on Mac. I want to stress this is not the only containerization and app framework out there. This is one that I happen to like. Just do your research, but I stuck to this. In Flatpak, users interact with the sandbox via the Flatpak CLI or some GUI application. And at its heart, Flatpak is all about bundles. Bundles is a single distribution that contains everything that an application needs. So think just an archive that you can install with Flatpak install and then the name of the application. And that's it. That's what you need. So you run that command, Flatpak install, and you got the application running on your desktop. .flatpak is the extension for specific bundle. Flatpak is also the concept of repositories, think app stores. So with the second command, Flatpak install from Flatpak, Flatpak being the main app store, some application, there you go. You get it installed without having to download a file manually. When we talk about bundles, we have application bundle and runtime bundles. In this specific talk, I'm going to focus on application bundles, that is the application themselves. Runtime is a bit of a different beast. It's basically these shared libraries and frameworks, and it's a separate story. So when I talk about Flatpak here, think application, things, a browser, an editor, and so forth. And what I like about this model is its simplicity, because with one click, with one command, you just can install this app anywhere. This is really OS agnostic. This is just the Flatpak CLI talking to the Flatpak sandbox. OK. There's a bunch of other cool things that Flatpak lets you do. There is a format of bundle called Flatpak Ref, which allows for install from web type of workflow. So you download this Flatpak Ref file, click on it, and it's going to install setup repos and basically self-contained applications like you would have on a mobile phone. And you can have nice properties like version pinning, minimum one reproducible deployments, and a bunch of other things. And under the hood, it uses well-established Linux infrastructure for store management and sandboxing. There's other cool stuff that we're not going to cover in this presentation, but Flatpak runs on a sandbox. The sandbox can be, its security can be tightened or loose as you want, so you can work a bit and tweak the isolation. You can do cool things like cross-architecture emulation via Kimo. So for instance, you can run Arch64 on x86, might you want to. And it gives you high configurability for your apps. So you can declaratively, essentially specify how you want your application to look like on your desktop. So it's a bunch of stuff. I refer to the documentation. Might you want to learn more about it. So how do you install Flatpak on NixOS? Easy. There's a native support in Nix packages. You just enable the services.flatpak option. And you rebuild the system, and there you go. At this point, you have the Flatpak sandbox installed, but you don't have any facility or utilities to actually do something with it. The documentation recommends you to install a repository. So this command here enables the default Flatpak app store. But then it's up to you to install application basically at the command line, which kind of sucks, because it kind of defies the purpose, I think, of why I'm using Nix, right? Because I want my state to be declared, and now I have the application I want, but I have to install, uninstall, and update manually. Not great. So thinking a bit how I use my Mac OS with Nix Darwin, as I was saying, on Mac, I have a core that is basically Nix managed with CLI tools. I have the GUI, typically installed via Homebrew, another Mac OS package manager. And then Nix Darwin has some wrapper for this Homebrew that lets me declare which application I want to install, basically, at system rebuild. And I really want to have the same thing also for Nixos, because that's cool. Like, that's something I would like to do, right? We can be my debate. Like you can say, you could mix stable and unstable. Yes, I could, but then I'm still gonna have unstable clip C mixed with my stable. Things tend to break. End of the day, I still really wanna use Flatpak, manage some update cycles independently, and have these two things kept orthogonal. So I started thinking, okay, why don't we have this already? And there are some projects, but nothing official. So why is it so hard to make Flatpak declarative and reproducible like any other piece of application or piece of infrastructure that we handle with Nix? And there are four reasons that I can think of. Let's break them down before jumping into how I approach this problem. So there are some declarative gaps between the Flatpak sandbox and what you would expect from a declarative system. The Flatpak CLI is highly imperative, and so are the GUIs. You can install, you can update, you can remove up one by one, right? But there's no native way to declare, I want this exact application with this exact version, read this config file, go do it for me. Like, there's nothing like that. And also the Flatpak CLI is inconsistent. I'll give an example in version pinning. So you can pin a version of an installed Flatpak application, but this will prevent updates, right? But there is no built-in way to specify exactly commits or hashes that you want to pin to when installing. There are workarounds it that requires you to first install an application, then update it, and then update at a certain pin, but that's kind of, that's not great. Basically, the assumption is with Flatpak, you always go for latest stable, and off you go. There is a risk of runtime drift, because we saw that Flatpak bundles can be applications that run on runtime, so your application might stay stable, but the runtime may update independently because of some weird interaction. So you might have a stable application with a runtime that changes and incur into a regression, which is not ideal if you want something reproducible. And then there is limited tooling and integration. Like in case of Nix, not much at this stage. All right, so at this point, I was new to Nix. I was new to Flatpak. I was really curious. I was thinking, like, can I make this thing declarative? Like, is there really some way to do it? Like, given all this limitation, is there a way to make the world of this Flatpak imperative application management compatible with Nix? With a caveat, remember that I do care about stable core, but I could deal with less stable desktop applications, so runtime drift, it's okay. If something breaks with Flatpak, I'm gonna go and manually fix it. It's not critical. So the answer to this question here to me was, yes, we can do it, but with some trade-offs. There's an interesting framework that I found in this paper, linked here, that introduces a mental model of software management systems in three categories. It's all centered around state. So on one end of the spectrum, you have what is called the divergent system management state. That is, the system state diverging from the described target one in unforeseeable ways. And that's a bit what installing tools from the CLI as, say, one-off can lead, because you don't know what's on your system till something breaks, basically. On the other end of the spectrum, you have what the authors call the congruent state. In a congruent state, the system state is forced to be completely equal to a target state, which in my understanding is pretty much what Nix does, right? Somewhere in between, they identify what they call the convergent state, which they characterize as a system state that is compared against a target desired state description, and whenever differences are found, it's brought together closer to the target, which is a kind of best effort, right? We can allow some flex, so we want our state to be matching, and if there is a divergence, we can course correct. And this is a bit what this tool I wrote tries to do, basically. Find a sweet spot between the chaos of CLI and the, let's say, strictness of Nix. So that's a link to this project. In a nutshell, what does it do? It's a convergent packet management tool for Nix. It's orthogonal to Nix store, so Nix and Flatpak sandboxes don't know about each other. They are all the application installed with Nix Flatpak are going to live outside of Nix store in their own namespaces. However, it does extend services.flatpak with ad hoc options. I'm going to show you in a sec what I mean. It's responsible, this tool is responsible for managing life cycle and overrides configuration, but nothing else. It's not gonna run application for you, it's not gonna do anything else that basically installing, managing life cycles, and then configuring if you want. It supports version pinning at commit hash level via some horrible hacks that I can show you later on if you'd like, but at least it allows for precise rollbacks. It's a Nix module. It is distributed as a Flake. It sits on Flake Hub and Flake History, and I see now I have a typo. And it is free software, since going back to what we were just talking about. So what does a Flatpak state in Nix Flatpak look like? It's going to look like something like this. Bear with me. My microphone is decided to not be compatible with my glasses. Fun times. So this is taken from a piece of configuration I have around. So up there, I am declaring a list of remotes. By default, Nix Flatpak comes with FlatHub configured, like what NixOS documentation suggests. But we can extend it with others. So in this case, I'm adding a new FlatHub beta remote, a new app store with beta packages from FlatHub. The block below, services.flatpak.packages, declares a list of applications that I want to have installed at activation time on my system. So I'm installing Logseq, which is a kind of productivity tool, using the default app manager and configuration. Then I'm installing Visual Studio Code. And here I'm doing something a bit more sophisticated. Here I'm saying install Visual Studio Code from FlatHub beta, which I declared above. And I want you to install this specific commit hash. So I want this specific version of Visual Studio from the beta repo. Right. Then in the entry below, I'm installing Orca Slicer, which is a tool for doing stuff, basically. But what I want to show, this comes from a local file on my machine that I want to bundle with my configuration. Right. And finally, I'm also installing Flatpak Ref, which is this kind of click and install type of application that in this case lives on a website outside of my machine and my config. So we can mix and match different provenance and sources, and hopefully, usually, it works. So this is all about managing state. This is what this application and package management does, right? So what happens is that on activation, a Flatpak state.json that was created by the previous application, and is what we call the current state, is compared with the config.nix that I created. So we try to see where application added, where application removed, did commit hash changed, is it something that needs updating, and so forth. And it does a third comparison with the system actual state. I might have installed some applications manually, forgot about them, they pollute my state, but we want to be aware that they are there, right? So the idea here is that at activation, the current and the target state are going to be merged to generate a new congruent current state, right? And if the runtime diverges, the user can decide whether they want to remove the application not specifically declared or just keep them. It is a toggle that I'm going to show in a bit. So we can enforce congruency if you want. To keep derivation pure, the state lives outside of NixStore. And there are some hacks to do this kind of state comparison, which boil down to a ton of JSON manipulation done via JQ, which I'm going to come back in a second. Nix Flatpak has also option for managing the life cycle of a package. So up there, we have uninstall, unmanage. I don't know if the name is good, but the intention is that if you find packages on activation that are present on the system, but they are nowhere in the state declaration, remove them or not. So this is basically to enforce the target state to match whatever in your machine. Right? Then you can specify when you, if and when you want to run updates. So remember that we said that Flatpak expect to install at the latest version, but you can also manage updates, right? So you can do, when something is released, you can update to latest, and you can control whether you want to do application updates on application or according to a schedule. And in this case, I'm saying don't update on activation because it can take a long time, but do update on a weekly schedule. So this is a System D timer that runs on a big leap base and essentially decides whether to update or not this application. And then the final lifecycle management piece of config is something that we can use to remove orphaned or drifted runtimes. Sometimes these things start to stick around and we can't get rid of them. Ooh, I see we have 5 minutes left. I'm gonna speed up a bit in the last two slides. Under the hood, Nix Flatpak is a module. It's a set of Nix functions that generates a bash script installer that essentially compiles these config options into bash script and statement that match the desired outcome. The installer is orchestrated via systemd, so it's all self-contained in the Nix world. It was all cool, so I built this thing for myself, I put it online, I thought, yeah, maybe somebody can use it. People started using it and things started breaking all the time, which made me think, oh, I need to test it. And how do you test a bunch of bash scripts and NJQ queries? My answer is, well, I'm using Nix packages test suite. Testing Nix function alone is not enough, right? So I came up with a strategy where I've introduced snapshot testing. Basically, what I'm doing is every time I do a change, I run my unit test suite, and I compare the outputs of the bash script generated by the installer with what I expect that one to be. It's a technique, essentially, to track regression. And that worked quite nicely and saved me some headaches. And I ended up introducing some wrappers on, the Nix packages test suite to also be able to integration test JQ scripts. Basically, I invoke a JQ script via Nix, and I compare before after expected state. And that's cool. It kind of works. It was a bit of a hack. Finally, there's also a Kimu virtual machine for integration test and demo. So might you want to try it? You can just spin up a VM and experiment with it and see what it is. All right, we're almost at time. I want to describe what's next for this project. This, for me, went from being a learning project to something that people are using, and I spent a lot of time stabilizing it. I expect to get a 1.0 version by the end of this year. I've got some question about what I could do better to engage with the community, and it's something I hope to get also out of this conference. So if you're interested or curious or you have some audience feedback, please reach out and let me know how you use it, what you would like to see, and if you would like to contribute and how. And feedback, welcome. There's a question I got quite often, that is, will this project ever be upstream to Nix packages? Because there is interest, apparently, for that. And my answer is, I don't know. It's really a question of governance. Is it a good idea? Is it not? Is something I would also like to engage in and find out, what would the process be to have this kind of system upstreamed? And do we want it? Because my hot take is that I onboarded Nix and NixOS with Flakes, and I like Flakes. And from my point of view, Nix Flatpak being orthogonal to NixOS is kind of mapped by Nix Flatpak being orthogonal to Nix packages. It's an open question. I don't know. Alrighty, I think we're out of time. We have 2 minutes for Q&A. Thank you. And if there's no question now, you can just grab me anytime. Happy to have a chat. I'm around the whole day and tomorrow.
Did you consider just opening up ER, perhaps, you mean? I mean, if it's merged, it's in Nix packages.
Yes, but it's not, I think, as easy, because I don't know what work would be required to have a proper integration. So what the expectations are, quality standards are. So opening a PR, yes, we can do, but like to do it a bit more intentionally and understand if there is a need for that to not bloat the system. And this is something that I honestly don't know.
On the point around JQ, I've had a lot of success in a more work environment of using New Shell. Both to handle JSON parsing as well as a improved scripting environment. I don't know how much a fan of Bash you are, but okay. I can recommend that.
Thanks. Something I'm going to check out.
Is there a future where we could have the packages be like the state manage the like the congruent state, like not like pure Nix, where the flatpaks are in the Nix store?
I honestly don't think it's an option because Flatpak is a sandbox, so it's a pretty basically heavy system that comes with its own convention and its own way to use the file system, and I don't see how that would be compatible with Nix itself. But maybe I'm wrong, and I'd like to know how. It says here that my time is up, but until they cut me off, I can't go on.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to make sure I understand the runtime drift problem.
Yes. So runtime drift means, say that you run VS Code and Firefox on a given GTK runtime, right? So you have a set of GTK libraries. At a point in time, your Firefox and VS Code could remain at the same version, but the runtime could change because other third-party dependencies caused an update. So essentially, you could be in a state where your expected runtime does not match what you actually have because something out of your control changed it. Got it. Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone.